your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, Merry Meet everybody, and welcome once again. Got a great show tonight. We're going to be talking about cursing and crossing with my guest, Miss Aida. Now, she's a Catholic spiritualist, a natural-born medium, a hoodoo practitioner with deep roots in the Afro-Cuban traditions, who specializes in cursing, breakup spells, spiritual eradications, establishing a magic protection, and helping animals. And she's also the administrator of the online Lucky Mojo Forum and a regular guest on the Lucky Mojo Root Work Hour radio show. Okay. Last time she was here, she was, well, I guess it was back in August, we talked about her hoodoo cleansing and protection magic. So I guess we're going just in the opposite direction tonight, because we're going to be talking about hoodoo spells to torment, jinx, and take revenge on your enemies. But you know the old saying, there can't be light without dark, and so we have to live in both worlds and get really nicely well-rounded. Now, if anybody during the show has a question or comment, please send it over to me in a private message in the Para-X chat room. And we welcome all visitors to join us at Para-X Radio Network to ask questions if you want to come over and visit us. And, you'll be in good company. So, Aida, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you. It's such an honor.
It was kind of like by popular demand as well. Because after you left the last time, I kept hearing people say, get her back, get her back, get her back. So
they're masochistic.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And in a very good way. So, you know, I've got to say something right off the bat, that some things that we may be talking tonight might make a few people a little bit uncomfortable. But, you know, like I just said, our world isn't compromised only with sunshine and lollipops. And as Aida says in the introduction to her book, revenge goes way back to ancient times. I mean, that archaeologists have uncovered thousands of ancient artifacts that had magical curses of revenge. And a lot of spells in her book use the same common items that were used back then, so it's kind of handy in that respect. But one thing that kind of, I was listening when you were on Tim's show last week or the week before, it seems that both of you were rather fond of using duct tape for various purposes. So, see, I listened hard and I laughed out loud. But it's true. I mean, most of the things that you use are common items. You don't have to have an apothecary. You don't have to have a bodega. Yeah. You don't have to go out and buy things, because a lot of these things are just things around the house, household things, because this kind of practice goes back before they had internet stores and things. But the last thing that I thought I would ever hear is duct tape. So what exactly is duct tape good for in doing spells and curses?
You can shut somebody up, or you can blindfold them. if you're, you know, if you're working with an effigy, anything that represents a person, so that could be a doll or a candle or, you know, whatever. So a friend of mine, well, not a friend, it was a client, and she had a son that was illegally dealing drugs, and she had no clue that he was practicing magic, and she, you know, she couldn't figure out why every time she'd call the cops, nobody would help her, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she finally found a puppet, and they're also known as voodoo dolls or doll babies. She found this doll baby, and he had him dressed up like a police officer, and he actually bought a badge at the toy store, and he had duct tape over the eyes and ears so that the cops could not see or hear what he was doing. I mean, I just think that's amazing. So that's one way, you know, you can blindfold them, you can shut them up, you can bind them by tying their, or duct taping their arms behind their backs. I mean, you can do a lot with duct tape. You know, I always tell people, be creative, be creative. I can't tell you the hundreds of clients who think of better things than I do, and I've been doing this my whole life. So be creative.
Yeah, and also you were being creative. Again, what I heard was on that show that you're not the most crafty person in the world, but you found a really neat way to make the doll babies. And I think you found them at, what, Joann's or Hobby Lobby or something like that, right, or the 99-cent store?
Yeah. I found the teddy bears at the Dollar Tree, and then I found those dolls. What do you call those? You know, the ones that are filled with whatever, acrylic. I don't know what they're filled with, but.
Yeah, I know. They're kind of, starter dolls, and then people make something out of them.
Right? The cloth dolls. So rather than having to make a cloth doll, you just buy it for $3 and remove the stuffing in the torso. And there you go. You can stuff the torso. You can slip things into the head. They're really quick and easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's always an easy way out. I mean, I'm not very crafty either, and if I could buy something rather than, have to figure out how to make it, and it would probably be stupid looking if I did.
Mine look like space aliens. And I always tell people, you know, when I make clay dolls, you know, you saw my clay doll on Tim's show. It looks like a Martian.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the doll looks like. It's your intention. That's what's important. I've seen metaphysical practitioners, and I've said it on Tim's show, and they make the most beautiful dolls. Beautiful, beautiful. Not me. But no matter what the doll looks like, if your intention is there, if you got the right ingredients and the right incantations or commands or petitions, whatever you want to call it, and you put your energy into it, it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. That's the key to all kind of magical work, no matter what. I mean, you have to have the intention. You have to have a little bit of manifestation going on at the same time, and a positive attitude. I mean, that's, you know, that goes without saying. So whatever you're practicing, that's really important. Go ahead.
I mean, you can make dolls out of anything. You can make dolls out of twigs. You can make dolls out of mud. You can make dolls out of meat. And I learned that back in the days of slavery, when some of the slaves were forced to churn butter, they would churn the butter and they would take a glob of it and they would form the butter into the shape of a human, right? And name it by its master's name and curse it and then fry it in the frying pan. That's a great way to curse a doll.
Yeah, and you could like bite off their foot or something. never mind.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Everybody has their own ideas right there. That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, you know, get rid of the... never mind. I have a great imagination, and it sometimes gets me in trouble. but I've got a first question from the chat room, because somebody has seen your book cover, And the book cover is talks about about cussing and cursing and crossing. And they want to know what the difference is between the two.
I don't think there's, there's a whole bunch of different lingo for cursing or putting a hex on somebody. You know, you can call it avenging, you can call it crossing them, cursing them, goofering them, hexing them, hurt them, jinx them. There's all kinds of, and you know, now the younger people, and I always do this little dance because I'm an old woman, so I do this little dance when I try to act young, and they say they're throwing shade, right? All the same lingo for the same thing.
I kind of like that one, throwing shade. Yes. I mean, yeah, if you're clever enough and have a great vocabulary, you can make anything sound really, really good. All right, so your mother and most of your family were magical practitioners. So you, like many, kind of look at that as a lifestyle rather than something that you got interested in on a whim. And that's really a wonderful atmosphere to grow up in, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I was always embarrassed. When I was a little kid, I was embarrassed because these are things we couldn't. I mean, we were already the weird family because we weren't English speaking. So we were already the weirdos, right? So I always tried to keep everything a secret. Everything for me was embarrassing. And, you know, that's a bad way to think, but that's how a child thinks when your family doesn't act like the rest of the family, right? Then when I got a little bit older and started to realize what was happening, then it made sense. But, you know, I tell people, in Santeria, right, you learn all these different things. All this information was crammed down my throat. Cram. So what do you do when you're a kid? You try to get away from it or you ignore it, right? So now that I look back, if I had written down everything that everybody in my family ever said, wow, I could have a 10,000-page encyclopedia. I really could.
Yeah.
You know, my mother is forgotten more than what I ever learned. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and it's 2020 hindsight. You know, we don't ask things. We're not curious. We're in our own little bubble. We want to be just like everybody else. And then, you know, you get to be older and you want to kick yourself because you don't have anybody to ask.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You nailed it.
Yeah.
So that's the way it was for me.
Mm-hmm. So when did you get interested enough to take it seriously and get rid of the embarrassment?
Well, when people would come over and give my mother money or give her beautiful presents, that's when I started taking it into it. But this is really a good question because it's funny. Someone brought her a doll, and the doll came from another country. It was the most beautiful doll I'd ever seen in my life, and it had human hair, and it said, Mama, and she wouldn't even let me touch it. She said, no, this is my present. You said this was embarrassing. You said this was silliness. You said you're ashamed. Oh, no, you can't touch it.
Wow.
So that's how she finally tricked me. But I was jealous. I wanted that doll. I mean, it had pearls. It had, it was just gorgeous.
Aww.
That doll changed me.
Well, for the good. Little did you know at that point, you were more mercenary at that point. You wanted the doll, but it turned into a lifestyle, and that's kind of amazing. But, you know, you're talking about the things that your mother taught you, but it's like on the back cover of your book, you know, it says that you're teaching people how to torment, jinx, mess up your adversaries and foes, but cursing and crossing isn't always the answer, because your mom also told you when to curse and when to walk away, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I always say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So if you're screaming at me and calling me all kinds of dirty names, I'm not going to do anything except maybe scream back at you and call you dirty names back. I'm not going to curse you. And I see that a lot, where clients will contact me and some rival call them all these names and they want that person dead. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
And there are times when someone will threaten you, but they're vague. One of these days, I'm going to get you. One of these days, I'm going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to curse them. You're going to put up protection, right? So,
yeah.
You know, the crime has got to, or the punishment has got to fit the crime. It's just
mm-hmm.
got to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't tell you how many times I've walked away, especially with some of my neighbors. You know, I've walked away. It isn't unless, you know, something really, really bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
You take action. You know, compare it to having a gun, a loaded gun. So if somebody comes up to you and starts swearing, the cursing and the crossing is a loaded gun. Think of it mm-hmm. that way.
Okay.
So if somebody comes up to you and calls you horrible, horrible names to your face and screams and everything else, and you shoot them, you're the one that's going to prison. That person didn't deserve to be shot,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Or the person, you know, gives you a vague threat and you shoot that person, you're going to go to prison. And justly so in both situations. But if the person's got a gun at you, right, then you're going to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's the same principle. Think of cursing and crossing as possessing a loaded gun. And know when to shoot and know when not to.
It makes good sense. And, you know, I was talking to somebody earlier in the week, and he said there are times that he's dealing with people that are so rotten that he really wants to throw, as he calls it, you know, a boogity boogity on them, you know, whatever it is. But he's always at the crossroads because he's Christian, and he says his religious belief says do not harm people. You know, you just, you know, it's love and light and never harm. So that's keeping him from actually wanting to do something or doing something that he really wants to do because of this upbringing and the repercussions, you know, that he may go to hell. Now, you are Christian, and how do you deal with that part of it?
Well, I'll tell you, the Hebrew Bible and the Old Testament of the Christian Bible,
mm-hmm.
actually, I always say it's like a manual for life,
yeah.
right?
yeah.
There are psalms in there designed specifically for cursing somebody, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 109, that's the harshest cursing psalm there is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you working with? You're working with God. Who else are you praying to?
Right.
Hebrew Bible, right? Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, who are you praying to? We're praying to God. So in my mind, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me.
Well, that makes
sense. It actually gives you the incantations. You know, there's a few of them that mm-hmm. are in there besides Psalm 109. And that's coming up in my new book, Hoodoo Justice Magic. I have the Psalms. I also have a lot of prayers. If you don't want to curse somebody, you can work with saints.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of entities that you can work with, and sometimes they will seek the justice if you just tell them what happened. So-and-so did blah, blah, blah to me. I'll give you a really good example.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle passed away, and his second wife, and I really, really didn't like her, but, you know, I had to do the best that I could do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go to Santeria just for a minute. There's an Orisha. His name is Baba Luaye.
Mm-hmm.
And Baba Luaye, is his syncretism is St. Lazarus, right? So he's the guy with the cane and the dogs, right? And he was homeless and he was crippled. So Baba Luaye is a very, very powerful Orisha. You can come to go to him for illnesses. You can go to him for if you have an illness. You can go to him if you want money. And you can also go to him, as you can with any Orisha, and tell them, so-and-so, you know, Marla Brooks hurt me. So she would work with Baba Luaye all the time. Now, this is a situation that I did nothing. All I did was pray to him.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, they tried to hit me for $35,000. They were always asking me for money. And I'd always try to comply. But $35,000 was my entire bank account. Mm-hmm. And they felt they should have the money. Mm-hmm. To make a very long story short, if Baba Luaye punishes you, mm-hmm. and I don't want people to get the wrong impression, the Orishas are not mean, horrible entities that will punish you. They punish you if you lie. They punish you if you're deceitful. They punish you. But his punishment is always, well, not always, but most of the time you'll lose a limb. Something will happen with your limb.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this overwhelming feeling when I refused to give them $35,000. They wanted my entire bank account, $35,000. When I refused,
mm-hmm.
I was told, you're going to be sorry for this. Mm-hmm. And I knew that she worked with Baba Luaye. I knew it. Mm-hmm. I immediately went to Baba Luaye and I said, Baba, which means father, right? Mm-hmm. I said, this is what I think she went to you. I think she went to you and trying to hurt me. And I told him the situation. Please, Baba, please, please protect me. You know, help me. And guess what? She lost her leg.
Backfire. You get what you put out, right?
Well, she got it for lying to him and for going after me for something, you know. I'm not going to give her my life savings.
Well, hell
for
no.
What?
Exactly. And, you know, when you talk about Baba Luaye, I think I've said this on the air before, but Judica Ellis, our friends, was on my show, and it was about her book on the saints and the, you know, whatever. And I was reading it, and I find the weird stuff in books. You know, something will jump out at me. And when I started reading about Baba Luaye, all of a sudden, I Love Lucy came into my mind, and so did Desi Arnaz, and that was his song, Baba Lu. And people are thinking, oh, it's just some kind of a nice little song, but they don't have a clue, even when you listen to it now, that he's really talking to Baba Luaye.
The song actually has a spell in it.
Does it?
Yep. The song that Desi Arnaz sings. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the first person to sing that song.
No.
Right?
No.
There was a popular Cuban man. But there's actually a spell in there. Oh, you know, a cigar and 17 cents, 17 pennies. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's an actual spell in the song.
Oh, I've got to listen to it again. Yeah. But it just caught me off guard because here, you know, I Love Lucy, big comedy. Boy, he's singing Baba Lu and he's banging that drum and nobody's the wiser. You know, I mean, it's just really kind of funny. Okay, so some of the methods in your book and the curses themselves are pretty hardcore, heavy duty, no nonsense, ways to seek revenge. And the book is full of instructions about what people might be afraid to do. And as with any kind of magical working, you know, if your heart's not in it, and we talked about this a second ago, and you're just not afraid to do something, you're never going to bring it to fruition. And because of all the kinds of supplies that would probably make some of the faint of heart cringe, for some people who really do have a need, is it best to call on someone like yourself to do the work for them rather than try themselves if they can't put their whole heart and soul in it?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm very, very particular because if I don't think a curse is justified, I won't do it. Mm-hmm. I turn down, I would say I only take about 2% of the cases. That's not very much, about 2%, because I feel in most cases the curses aren't justified. And then we have to also, a lot of clients get mad because, well, I have to pay for a reading. Well, I'm not going to do a reading for free, right? I'm not going to spend an hour with you. But a lot of times I'll lay out the cards and talk to spirit, and I'll learn that the client is lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
That it didn't happen. You know, when they know that I insist a curse has to be justified, they'll make things up
mm-hmm.
in order to get me to comply.
Yeah.
So, like I say, you know, I only take about 2% of the cases. I'm one of the poorest spellcrafters on the planet because, you know, I refuse a lot because I say that all spells where there's another person involved, whether it's a love spell or a positive spell, especially love spells or negative spells, they have to be justified. And what I always tell people is even in love spells, mm-hmm. they absolutely have to be justified because, boy, if I had my way, and you know this, and everybody who knows me knows this, I'm madly in love with Andy Garcia, right? But he's probably happily married with children and grandchildren, and, you know, I'm going to try to break up a family because I think I love him. Nah, you're going to do it.
No, it's not good to take somebody's will or get them against the will. That's why I really don't like love spells because, you know, bright-eyed teenagers are going, oh, God, I'm going to do this. And, you know, in anything, whether it's a curse or a witchcraft spell or whatever, you got to know your craft. You got to know what you're doing. You have to understand that if you're going after somebody and you're not specific and you don't do it trying kind of the right way, you could wipe out a whole family, literally.
Right.
And
exactly.
So, you know, I keep telling people, just don't, it's not fun in games. You know, sometimes it's necessary, but it's just really not fun in games. And, you know, people think also that what you do is kind of dangerous. And, you know, we've already talked about, you know, the reasons and how you do it, but do you do a certain type of protection or do a cleansing ritual before your work? Because I know most of us do.
Absolutely, absolutely, because negative energies can hang around and you don't know where they are. So mm-hmm. you do a cleansing before and you do a cleansing afterwards because then they really do hang around, even if you're just praying Psalm 109 or one of the other psalms that are designed for cursing, even in that situation, there are negative entities that are very, very curious, and mm-hmm. they'll hang around to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you have to do the cleansing afterwards, too. But
yeah.
the cleansing beforehand, you do the cleansing to get rid of any negative energies that are there. You want a clean space, right? A spiritually clean space also, but you also put up protection. You have to put up protection because you don't know what you might be attracting.
Yeah, and invariably you can attract something without even knowing it. And then
exactly.
there goes the rub. You know, that's kind of the worst part of it.
But going back to that question about, you know, the man who is Christian, you know, my advice is if you're going to pray, and this new book that's coming up, The Hoodoo Justice Magic, has a lot of different prayers to different saints. You don't have to be specific. You don't mm-hmm. have to say, I want whatever terrible thing to happen to this person. All you have to do is tell them what this person, tell the entity what this person has done to you. And please, please seek justice for me. And there, that's that. That's all you have to do. I did a spell once. This girl was dating this man who was beating her and all this other stuff. And her mother came to me begging me to break them up. And I don't like to do breakup spells when a man is abusive or a woman's physically abusive. And I stress that because it may provoke more violent behavior. But in this case, I did it because there were special circumstances, and I never specifically said anything at all. I just said, get him away from her. And she was there. I had her witness everything I said. Mm-hmm. I explained to the entities what he was doing, how harmful he was, and get him away from this woman's daughter because I brought her in. And do you know he ended up in prison? Not once did I ever say I wanted him in prison. You see where the entities, they oftentimes decide what the justice is.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
And we can trust them for sure. There was another story in your book, I think, that I want to talk about when we come back, but we need to take a break. And so when we do come back, we're going to be talking more about spells and all kinds of stuff. And so everybody get your duct tape ready, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman-Shine, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, this is Marla Brooks from Stirring the Cauldron. Thursdays are a great night on the ParaX Radio Network. On the first and third Thursdays of the month at 8 p.m., it's Tango and Friends, hosted by Bruce Tango. And on the alternate Thursdays at 8 p.m., tune in to Stirring the Cauldron, the archive podcast. Every week at 9 p.m. Eastern, join me on Stirring the Cauldron Live. And then at 10 p.m., stick around for New Aeon Now with Lily Alley, Davron Michaels, and Christine Matza. Finally, to round out the night, join Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz on the Paranormal Encounters podcast. All this every Thursday, right here on ParaX.
Missed an episode of Stirring the Cauldron? Then be sure to check out MarlaBrooks.com and check out the archive. And while you're there, check out Marla's weekly Witches Oracle card reading. Explore the site to find many great resources, such as information on tarot, oracle readings, metaphysical consultations, and links to all of Marla's books. That's MarlaBrooks.com. Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
So my guest tonight is Miss Aida, and we're talking about her book, Cursing and Crossings. And I want to talk a little bit about mineral dusts and sachet powders in a second. But what I was going to say is, you know, we were talking a little bit beforehand about knowing what you're doing and learning how to do things before you do anything. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a story or an example in your book about a girl who was cheating. I mean, her boyfriend was cheating on her, and she put on a spell. I don't remember if it was on him or who he was cheating with, but it turned out very badly, and I'm sure she didn't mean it to turn out that badly. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Sure, I know exactly what you're talking about. In fact, I have another story. I have two stories. So the one that I write about in my book, and she gave permission, so I brought the story up in other books too, but the man hurt her very, very deeply. They had been dating for quite some time, and he devastated her. The way he broke up with her, it just devastated her. I mean, she was deeply in love with this man. She thought that they were going to get married, and he just dumped her like a hot potato. In fact, I believe it was a text message after many, many years of exclusive dating, right?
Wow.
And she was so hurt, so she put a spell on him. And this is why you have to watch what you say. Be careful for what you ask for or wish for, because you just might get it.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted him to be as devastated and as hurt as she was. Now, this was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I don't know what else she may have said. So he was dating some other girl, and they were living together, and my client didn't know this girl, had no ill thoughts about the girl, because the other girl was not the cause of the breakup, mm-hmm. okay? He started dating her later, and he comes home and finds her dead on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was devastated. He was as devastated as my client was.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, you know, being Catholic, she felt all this tremendous guilt, and she had to go to therapy. And needless to say, it happened to another client, and this happened about a year after I wrote the book. And her boyfriend, the guy she was dating, her boyfriend, he was with another woman. And he was now living with this woman, and the woman had just had a baby. Now, this woman knew about my client, right? And she didn't care. And she kept saying to me, I'm going to curse her, I'm going to curse her. I'm like, you can't curse her, you can't do that. The worst you can do is a breakup spell, but don't curse her.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't listen to me, and sure enough, the girl died.
Mm.
So what do I get? I mean, when I begged her and pleaded over and over, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Now I have to deal with the aftermath, because the guilt was overbearing. You know, when you're angry, you don't think about these things.
Right.
When you're angry, you say, I want this person dead. You know, I'm a nurse. I'm an emergency nurse. And I used to get very, very mad at my husband's family members, because they were awful to me. They didn't like Cubans. They used to call me a spick and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I used to say, you know, to myself, just wait till one of you people gets sick. Just wait. I'm going to walk away. And I never did, because it wasn't in me. I had to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're angry, you think these things and you don't care because you're angry. You're not thinking logically. But when the damage comes, most of us, right, who have a conscience, are going to feel devastated and guilty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
Be very careful what you say. Be careful, because sound is energy. Words are energy. And when you're putting out these energies, what are you doing? You're putting it out in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it may just manifest, especially when you're doing it repetitiously.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I mean, I jump up and down and get on that soapbox a lot, because people think it's just a game, you know. Well, let's do this, it'll work, haha, you know, she'll you know, one of her teeth will fall out, or you know, something like that. And you just,
you know,
never
the
know.
Movie, yeah, the movie The Craft is a great example. I mean, I know there's a lot of Hollywood drama in there, but the message is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These girls got carried away. There was only one logical girl in the group, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these girls just got so powerful and so full of themselves, and they were hurting everybody until it came back to them. And look what happened. You know, didn't the one end up in a mental institution, I believe?
I think so. And, you know, that being said, a little earlier, one of the people in the chat room said, I did a voodoo hex once and it backfired on me, so I'll never do it again. So sometimes
spells don't backfire. Spells don't backfire. You either didn't protect yourself, he or she didn't protect themselves, or the petition was wrong, the command was wrong, something. They don't backfire.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure what that means. What happened? Is that person still in the chat room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess she said, I'm guessing that she said whatever she wished out and hexed, she got that hex back on her, like an eye for an eye, maybe.
Oh, well, the person who had protection on them, the person, I have all kinds of reversing stuff on me, so all the time, morning and night and everything. So, I mean, if somebody tries to do something to me, it could bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really backfiring. That's someone else has set up protection and reversing.
So it basically goes back to know what you're doing. Study your craft. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's Wiccan, if it's black magic, whatever it is. You know, study and know what you're doing before you do it, because, you know, inadvertently somebody, and it might be you, can get hurt just by not knowing.
Exactly.
You know, I wouldn't have a brain surgeon work on me if he had read a book on, brain surgeon for idiots kind of thing. You know,
right.
So you just have to make it that easy.
Exactly.
All right. So what I wanted to talk about, I mentioned earlier, was mineral dusts and sachet powders for cursing in general. And your favorite cursing powder is goofer dust. Now, I've heard of that so much, but I don't have a clue what it is and where you would even find it. I know about graveyard dirt, but I don't know about goofer dust.
Okay, so in my upcoming book, I have a recipe for it, and goofer comes from the Kikongo word kufwa, which means death.
Mm.
Okay, so that's where you get the goofer, kufwa, goofer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it has all kinds of stuff in it. It has mullein, it has snake shed, it has sulfur, it has graveyard dirt. Back in the olden days, when I say the olden days, I'm talking about the days of slavery, they would actually put poisons in it, too, so that if you stepped on it, you would be poisoned if you stepped on it with your skin or touched it. Since then, goofer dust isn't made that way, of course not, because if you touch it, you're going to hurt yourself. You know, you had said that I'm the administrator of Lucky Mojo Forum, which at one time I was. I've answered over 16,300 posts on Udu. I am no longer with Lucky Mojo, but I will tell you that, in my opinion, they make the best goofer dust. They really, really do. I know a lot of people are going to get mad at me, and I don't care, but they do have good products, and they make great goofer dust. It's the real deal.
Why is it stronger? Why is it your favorite as opposed to some of the other mineral dusts and sachet powders?
I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you. Oh, why is goofer dust my favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in my opinion, it's got everything all in one package. You know, it's got the graveyard dirt. It's got the sulfur. It's got the pepper. It's got the snake shed. It's a combination of all kinds of cursing ingredients all in one.
Ah, okay.
And that's why it's my favorite. I laid some goofer dust out, and this is another thing I want to tell everybody, is I don't believe in laying a trick. And laying a trick is when you attempt contact magic. So the target is the person that the spell is intended to affect. Your target will either step on it or pass by it or touch it. So that's contact magic. In other words, contact, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it is said, and this is where I vehemently disagree, it is said that if you lay a trick, and that's meaning putting out the magic, mm-hmm. you know, that you state the intention. Oh, mm-hmm. this is for so-and-so. This is for John Doe. Everybody's tired of me using his name, and if there's a real John Doe, he's probably going to call his name. But I laid it out on my front lawn, and it was intended for a certain person, and somebody else stepped on it and broke their arm. Mm. And then another time I went a little bit closer to the house, and I said, okay, this is for so-and-so, and the sprinkler repair lawn guy, whatever he was stepping on it. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, well, it's not going to affect him because I stated that it was for so-and-so. Mm-hmm. He got hit by a car. He got hit by a car. So be very careful with contact magic. And mm-hmm. nowadays, unfortunately, with all these video cameras, it's so easy to get caught. So, you know, you got to think of more creative ways to get them to have contact with your trick. And yeah. the trick is, you know, magic. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's why I like Goofer Dust. It's all in one.
Okay, so you're talking about contact things, and I do want to talk in a second about personal concerns, but this when I was talking to you about the hex that backfired, this has something to do with all of that, because she got back to me, and she said, it was for a mean lady. So she got a piece of a bed of her hair and had a little voodoo doll, and she wished her a yeast infection. Uh-huh. Well, she got the yeast infection instead. So that's...
Okay, so I'm wondering what she said, and I'm wondering if she cleansed herself afterwards, mm-hmm. and I wonder if she protected herself.
Yeah, yeah.
Things that I wonder.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she'll put something back in, but in the meantime, I want to talk about personal concerns, because that's, you know, kind of what we were just talking about, getting somebody's hair. They might be a bit hard to acquire, but you have a whole list of them and where to find them and how to get them. So maybe you should explain what personal concerns are, and because some people might not be familiar with the term.
Well, in my opinion, personal concern is anything that contains your DNA. What is DNA? DNA has a blueprint of what you are, right? So mm-hmm. that can be your hair, it can be your saliva, it can be your sweat, your mucus, your feces, your urine, anything your body excretes. And most importantly, the skin. And I have in my book, and I have it in the upcoming book, you lose a lot of skin cells per hour, a lot. Mm-hmm. So if someone's living in a house alone, what is dust? Dust is mostly skin cells. Okay, you can collect mm-hmm. dust from your home, and there you've got a personal concern. You can, the ring around the bathtub, what is that ring? Oh, God, it's gross, it's dirt. No, it's not. Those are skin cells. Those are dead skin cells, right? Mm-hmm. You've got a treasure chest of personal concerns there. Mm-hmm. Blood, that has. Now, here's something that people don't think about, and I didn't think about it when I wrote this book, but I thought about it in my upcoming book, your fingerprint. Your fingerprint is a blueprint of who you are.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things. Earwax. So where to find them? If you're in the person's house, the first place I would go to is the garbage in the bathroom. Because that usually has saliva or Q-tips with wax. I don't condone using toothbrushes or washcloths because your DNA is mixed up with other ingredients. So there may not be DNA on there.
Mm-hmm.
Cigarette butts. I'm a heavy smoker. Cigarette butts. If you peel the mouthpiece part, you know, where the mouth goes over, those are skin cells from your lips. I remember when I was a little girl, I used to peel my lips, okay? So, you know, you've got a lot of skin cells, and you've got saliva there, too. So you just want the outer paper. You don't want the filter, because that's got tar and nicotine, and that will interfere. Just peel the paper from around there. So anything that your body is excretes, anything. I mean, some of the stuff sounds gross. Some of it does, but it has your DNA.
Depending on what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. Now, pictures, they're not considered personal concerns. Okay? They're kind of secondary to it. Pictures, signatures, they're kind of secondary. So your main personal concerns are anything that has DNA. Now, someone argued, someone of great authority argued that fingernails do not contain DNA. And I talked to an officer who works, you know, a police department, because I'm that way. And I talked to the people in forensics, and they disputed that. They said, yes, fingernails do contain DNA.
Well, let's tell everybody that there are a ton of spells in the book, of all sorts, and really good instructions. There's one thing that you talk about, and I'll talk about that real quickly, that, you know, some spells in the book are quite simple, like the black penny spell, and others are more complex and take longer to hatch, for lack of a better word, you know, like the 13-day egg curse. So we're always anxious to find out if our magic is working or not. But talk about patience. It's necessary, isn't it?
It's absolutely necessary. This is on my website, and Catherine Ironwood didn't have enough room to put it in Cursing and Crossing. And by the way, Catherine added a couple of a few spells in this book too, so I've got to give her accolades and credit, right? Because I just want to, because I didn't write in 100%. I wrote probably 90%, and she added 10%. So I mean, we give her accolades, but there was no room in the book, so I put it on my website, and I put it in my new book, Hoodoo Justice Magic. But if you go to my website under the blog, I talk about my godmother in Santeria. And she cursed somebody, and she kept cursing him and cursing him. And she had this doll made of him with his personal, all kinds of personal concerns. Because whenever she'd go into his house, she'd go right to the bathroom. Remember, I told you folks, you want personal concerns. First place to go is, can I use the bathroom, please? And go through that garbage. Oh, another thing, too, is you can go through their garbage if they put their garbage outside. I love garbage. So anyway, patience, perseverance, and she's beating this doll and swearing at it and beating it and swearing at it. And I was like, she's crazy, because everything she was doing, things were improving in his life. And I told her one day, you know, madrina, which means godmother in Spanish, I said, you're wasting your time, you know, everything's improving in his life. And she told me off. I have no patience. I mean, she really told me off. Anyway, one day, everything hit like a bomb. He lost everything. I've got all the details on my website. But it was like, once it was a domino effect. One thing bad happened, and everything fell apart. Everything. And it took her months and months, but you got to have patience and perseverance. And you faith. You got to have faith. Yes. Without the faith, you have no spell.
Exactly. we're getting really short on time. I want you to give out your website address because I want people to know, you know, where they can find you, your services, your books, your blog, your appearances, and all that. So let's start with that.
Okay, that's missaida.com. So that's missaida.com. And I have a Facebook page, and every other Sunday I do a live event where I teach a little bit, and then you can ask me anything. But I'm on the Facebook every day, so if you want to come chat with me and join my Facebook page, it's Miss Aida Psychic.
And you have services, you have all kinds of stuff, huh?
Yeah, I have an Instagram account. It's Miss Aida Conjure, but I'm still trying to figure it out. So, one of my dearest friends, she's a teacher. She spent hours with me Sunday teaching me. So now I know how to post a picture, but that's as far as we went. I got burned out. So next week you're going to teach me how to hashtag.
Good. I've never learned that either. Don't feel bad. So you're talking about the Facebook event. It won't be this Sunday, but it'll be the following Sunday, right? Every other Sunday.
No. It'll be this coming Sunday, yes.
Really? Did I miss a Sunday? I missed last Sunday. I saw the last time you did it, but it seems like it was last week. But I'm old and time flies.
I'm older, so watch it.
Maybe you're not. Anyway, so people go listen to the Facebook thing. It's right on her Facebook page. Friend her, follow her. You're going to learn a whole lot. And, you know, you kind of know there's going to be some people there that you know as well, so you're not going to be in strange company because you'll usually see Tim Shaw sitting there, and I'm going to be there every week, and, you know, maybe that'll keep you from coming, but don't let it, okay? thank you so much for coming over tonight. I can't wait until I'm looking forward to November when your new book comes out, Voodoo Justice Magic. And you will please come back, I hope. And
absolutely.
All right. And a big thanks goes out to all the listeners as well. And so until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.